Chapter 24. Come on, I say through a mouthful of toothpaste. Stay. Bob and I are in our master bedroom. I'm leaning against the sink, getting ready for bed. Bob is standing behind me, getting ready to drive back to Wellmont. He's also watching over my brushing, just like he did a few minutes ago with Charlie and Lucy. The kids can't be trusted to brush their teeth without parental supervision. Charlie will go into the bathroom and forget why he's in there. He'll draw on the walls with the bath crayons, or spin the entire toilet paper roll into an irreversible heap on the floor, or start World War III with his sister. Lucy never forgets why she's been sent in there, but she's sneaky. She'll wet her toothbrush with water, place it back in the holder, and then spend the next 20 minutes practicing different facial expressions and talking to herself in the mirror. So we can't send them into the bathroom alone and expect any kind of dental hygiene to happen. We keep them on task with verbal reminders. Brush the top, get all the way back, that was too fast, you're not done. We sometimes sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and they brush for the duration of the song, and Bob flosses for them. Now it's my turn. I can't be trusted to brush my teeth properly without supervision either. It's early in the evening for me to be getting ready for bed, but Bob wants to get me settled before he leaves. I can't, he says. You're not brushing the left side. Staring at my face in the mirror, I poke my toothbrush wildly around in my mouth, hoping to make incidental contact with the left side. God knows I can't get there on purpose. Unless I concentrate really hard, I'm not at all aware that the left side of my face exists. And at the end of the day, it's really hard to concentrate really hard on anything. No matter what time of day it is, the non-existence of the left side of my face creates less than desirable consequences. I sometimes drool out of the left side of my mouth and don't know it until someone, my mother, dabs me with a napkin or one of Linus's bibs. While a little slobber sliding down the chin is arguably cute on Linus, I'm quite sure it does nothing good for me. I now also have a reputation for unknowingly hoarding partially chewed wads of food in the pocket between my left teeth and gums, like I'm a chipmunk collecting nuts for the winter. This is not only gross, it's a choking hazard, so my mother does a chipmunk check several times a day. When I've been found guilty of hoarding, she either clears the food out with her finger or hands me a glass of water and asks me to swish and spit. Either way, the solution is just as gross as the problem. And I have an expensive collection of cosmetics that no longer sees the light of day. Mascara, liner and shadow on one eye, blush on one cheek, and lips colored in ruby red only on the right side made everyone noticeably scared of me. I asked Bob to apply my makeup for me only once. I looked like I should be walking the red light district. Since my options seemed to be limited to deranged lunatic or prostitute, I decided that we'd all be better off if I kept my makeup in the drawer. So, needless to say, brushing my teeth on the left side isn't my gold medal event. Bob always makes me give it a Girl Scout try, and then he does it for me. I poke around, accidentally jab the back of my throat and gag. I retch over the sink, spit, and hand the brush over to Bob. Is anyone else going in? I ask. I doubt it. Maybe Steve and Barry. Senior management at Bob's company told everyone on Christmas Eve that they'd be shutting down for the week between Christmas and New Year's, a forced, unpaid vacation for the entire staff. An effort to save costs during an annually slow week for many businesses, even in the absence of a recession. From what Bob has told me, Steve and Barry are insane workaholics, even by our standards. Steve loathes his wife and has no kids, and Barry is divorced. Of course they're going in. They have nothing better to do. That's crazy. Stay. Take the week off. Ski with the kids. Watch movies by the fire with me. Sleep. Relax. I can't. I have a ton to do, and this is the perfect chance to catch up. Now stop talking so I can brush your teeth. Because of all the layoffs, Bob is short-staffed and has been doing the work of three other employees, plus his own job. I'm amazed that he's able to do this, but also concerned about the toll it's taking on him. Aside from the time he spends helping me and the kids in the mornings before school and in the evenings before bed, and the handful of hours he sleeps each night, he does nothing but work, easily logging 18-hour days. He's burning the candle at both ends, and I'm worried that at some point there'll be nothing left of him but a puddle of wax. I raise my right hand, signaling that I need to spit. So you're going to work for no pay instead of spending the week with us, I say. I'd love to stay, Sarah, but I've got to do everything I can to keep this company and my job alive. You know I have to do this. Each time my mother brings in the mail at home and I see the white envelopes stacked on the kitchen counter, the scary dark pit in my stomach deepens, becoming darker and scarier. Even if Bob keeps his job and his salary, if I don't go back to work, we're living beyond our means. The bills keep coming in like a relentless winter storm, and we're starting to get snowed in. And if Bob loses his job, without another position lined up before I'm able to return to Berkeley, then we're going to have to start making some dark and scary choices. My heart races, acknowledging what my mind is too chicken to imagine. I know, I understand, I just wish you could stay. When's the last time we both had a week off at the same time? I ask. I don't know. We haven't been on a week-long family vacation or a vacation away together without the kids since Lucy was a baby. Whenever I could take a week, Bob couldn't, and vice versa. We most often ended up taking vacation days in dribs and drabs and for reasons that can hardly be considered a holiday, usually when Abby was away or called in sick. With the exception of this year, when I used up all of my days sitting bedside at the lovely Baldwin Resort Hotel, I've never taken all of my allotted vacation time in a given year. Bob never uses all of his either. And this time doesn't roll over to the following year. If we don't use it, it's gone forever. For the first time, this behavior strikes me as absurdly sinful. Our employers offer to pay us to spend 5 weeks a year together, away from our desks and meetings and deadlines, and every year we basically say, "Thanks, but we'd rather work." What's wrong with us?